Greetings, dear listeners, and a very warm welcome to another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Lasse Vogt.
And I'm your other host, Lyle Perez.
And together we want to bring you another of those wonderful warm feelings that you had when you were celebrating Christmas as a kid. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing, Lasse?
Yeah, also pretty good.
Good.
This has gotten to start like, I mean, we kind of have a routine going now, but it's not like the tired kind of routine. It's not like, yeah, another Christmas. Yeah, let's get this over with. No.
No. And then we come up with a special like this one that kind of really touches your heart.
It did.
It did touch me very deeply at the very end.
I think we are kind of spoiled by the very first Christmas special we did.
Yeah.
Because I doubt that anything will come close.
Oh, this one came close. At least to me.
It did. To me as well. I mean, it's...
It's a different type of close, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
The other one I had more... I could have related more to, the Town Santa Forgot. But this one I can't relate to, but it kind of still touches me because it's real. The Town Before Santa Forgot is extremely fake. It's very, I mean, what kid has that many toys that he can swim in it and Santa and all that stuff? It's not as real as this one. This one actually has a nice real message.
Yeah, it does. Like it's actually kind of depressing in a way how real some of it is.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So, what exactly are we talking about today?
We are talking about the 1991 Christmas special, The Wish That Changed Christmas.
Mm-hmm. This is actually based on a book written by Rumor Gooden. I hope I pronounced this right. And it was written for television by Romeo Muller and directed by Catherine Margarin. And I've never heard of this one before, but you can tell that it's based on a book.
Yes, I've never heard of this one either. Of course, with doing the research for the podcast, I do stumble across a lot of these made for TV Christmas cartoons and all that other stuff.
You can tell in one aspect it's also different from The Town Santa Forgot, because this seems to have a lot more work put into it. Like the animation style is certainly very, very different in
it
a way
is.
That it seems to have more of a budget. Like it has a huge, at the end credits, it lists a huge number of
yes.
people who worked on this. And the art style, it looked very familiar, but I couldn't quite place it. It looked like a book. Like a book come to life, pretty much. It looked
yes.
very, it's very kind of like a smooth animation. It's very nice.
Nice
but
visuals,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's also, it has that kind of, but it's also that kind of animation where you can sometimes like see how it was done.
It's not like the kind of
animation that really wants to show off like, oh, we are really real and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. No, this is actually a good balance of this. Of these cartoony colors and lines, but they want to, like, the humans look very human-like.
Yes, they do. It's not like the Town Santa Forgot. They all looked very fake, very animated, except for the grandpa and the kids in the beginning. But then everything after that kind of seemed a little weird.
I mean, it was a bit Hanna-Barbera style, certainly.
Yes.
And this, it's, I don't know, It looks more real, especially with the kind of like muted colors they have going on. It's not the brightest animation I've ever seen. They certainly treat it like they want to show some kind of realism. They want to convey some realism.
Right, yeah. Well, the special, it originally aired on December 20th, 1991. Kind of wanted to get that in there. And it was done by the McDonald's Corporation.
Yeah, there's actually Ronald McDonald bookends the special.
Yes, he does the opening intro and then the outro at the end. It was actually, a lot of people have a lot of problems with that type of stuff, like McDonald's getting into kids, you know, specials and whatnot. But I really didn't have a problem with it.
No,
it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, they don't put like the product in front and center. It's just like, hey, here's Ronald McDonald reading this book to some other characters, and it's not like they, except for the fact that it is Ronald McDonald, they don't advertise like McDonald's or anything. Even at the end, he even like reaches out to the kids and says, hey, you know what? You should read more books.
Mm-hmm. It was a good message. So I don't understand why people had so many negative things to say about that.
I mean, this is the first one of these I've seen, so maybe there are other ones which come across more cynical in a way. Yeah. I don't know. This one actually, it seemed as genuine as something like this could be.
Yeah. Well, it says right here that the Washington Post was more favorable in their review, but also voiced skepticism over the presence of Ronald McDonald as the special's host. I don't understand that at all. I mean, that's probably why McDonald's and stuff doesn't have Ronald McDonald anymore. It doesn't have the McDonaldland characters, Hamburglar, Grimace, Birdie, all of those people. And because adults started complaining. And I don't really feel like there should be any complaint towards that at all.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, okay, this was post Mac and Me, where it was where Mac and Me was like one of the biggest cynical sellout movies ever made,
right?
With the big like McDonald's promotion front and center that had nothing to do with the plot at all. So I guess people who voiced criticism about that was still like leftover anger from Mac and Me. I can imagine.
Yeah, I can see that too. But the special aired on CBS, and it was part of something called the Ronald McDonald Family Theater. I don't remember ever seeing that.
No.
I don't remember seeing it at all anywhere. The only time I've actually seen it was to this, and it doesn't even have a Wikipedia page or anything like that. So I can't really find more information on if it was like a monthly thing or was this the first and last thing to go on there. I don't know.
Might have been a short-lived thing.
Maybe. Could have been.
Yeah, not quite true. I mean, they had a lot of McDonald's Christmas commercials going on around that point in time, but yeah, some things just fall flat, you know. Maybe it might actually be that this was the first one, and then the critical flag got so big that they were like, okay, you know what, scrap this.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a quick synopsis of the episode, and then I guess Lasse can probably tell you who are some of the people that are that were in the production, the voice actors. So it's pretty much Ivy is an orphan living at Miss Shepherd's home for orphans. She is an orphan. Unlike the other children, she hasn't been taken in for Christmas and will have to spend the holidays alone at the Appleton Infants Home. She says she could go to her grandma's house, but she doesn't have one, and Miss Shepherd puts her on the train to Appleton. She wishes she had a grandma and a Christmas doll. And that's pretty much the whole story in a nutshell.
There's a whole lot that happens later. There are some subplots, but what I enjoy about this, all of the things that start out as subplots, it comes together at the end.
Yeah, and it comes together pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like everything seems to come together fast.
Yeah, so they establish a few things, a few different characters, and they all intersect at one point and it comes together, and which I really enjoyed. So some of the actors in this, I mean, of course you got Ronald McDonald at the beginning, who's pretty much, I think it was like the same Ronald McDonald for all the commercials and stuff.
The Ronald McDonald changes from time to time. At this time, there's a list somewhere of every single Ronald McDonald and from what years they played Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, but I recognize him from some commercials.
Yes, this Ronald McDonald was the one that was very commercialized. He is the one that you see in most of the commercials from the 90s. And also, they even did like musical CDs. Mm-hmm. They had an album that you could find it on Amazon. I think it's called Ronald Makes It Magic. It's like a CD with a bunch of songs. It is that same Ronald McDonald in those. He sings, he does like a radio show. And at one point in 95, they did like a Halloween thing with their Happy Meals. And you could even buy like cassette tapes. So it's like a radio show, like a Halloween radio show with Ronald McDonald in it. And he is the Ronald McDonald that does that one. So he is very popular. I even went as far as to try to find him and try to get him so I could interview him for my amazing advertising show, but I couldn't get him to respond to any of my emails. He probably doesn't want people to know that he was the Ronald McDonald that was the popular one in the 90s.
What's that to be ashamed of? I mean, nowadays a lot of people are like, yeah, screw McDonald's and stuff like that, but it's like, you know, I don't know. But it was fine. It was a different time.
Yeah, here we go. Actors who played Ronald McDonald. Jack I can't even pronounce this last word. Dopek, I think is how you would say it. He was the one that was Ronald McDonald from 1991 all the way to 1999.
So that's one, I guess.
Yes, he was the last actor to portray Ronald in the fictional world of McDonaldland. So they kind of took away McDonaldland. Presently, it is Brad Lennon who plays Ronald McDonald in advertising and stuff.
Okay, because in Germany, you don't have Ronald McDonald in advertising anymore.
No? Yeah, no. You don't really get him here much either.
Clown's got a bad reputation.
Oh, I know. I think it has a lot to do with it.
It has a lot to do with it, but even like before that.
Yeah, the stigma of the creepy clown.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah, that too. I want to know that.
Oh, boy. Welcome to our Christmas special.
Well, let's bring it back. Why don't you go ahead and give us some of the people that were involved?
Of course. Well, we have, I think the biggest names on this are Jonathan Winters and Paul Winfield, who are both sadly gone at this point. They both died a couple of years ago.
Yeah, going with the theme of the show.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Jonathan Winters, I mean, you know him from a bunch of stuff. Like, he is, even if they didn't show his name in the beginning, I would have known who he was because he has that very distinct, recognizable voice.
Yeah, he did. Certainly did. I could tell. I didn't know who it was exactly, but I can tell the voice is very familiar.
Yeah, his last job was actually The Smurfs 2. He voiced Papa Smurf. I think he died before that movie, like, even was. Before that movie even came out. I think the movie is dedicated to him. I'm pretty sure about that. And then you have, of course, like Paul Winfield, who you know him from a bunch of stuff. He also was in like he was in the first Terminator. Where else was he in? He was in Star Trek 2. He was in Mars Attacks, Cliffhanger. He's been in a bunch. He's been in a bunch of stuff. I also like his voice sounded familiar as well.
Right.
And for some reason, the voice of the toy shop owner, he sounded very familiar too. But I looked up the name C. Lindsay Workman. I don't recognize that name.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
So maybe it sounds like someone.
Let me take a look. Yeah, it could sound like somebody that's very well known. He was in Bewitched on the sitcom, played Dr. Coblin. Yeah, I'm looking at his IMDb. I don't really see much.
He was in Westworld, which is a very well-known movie. He has been in a bunch of stuff. He had a career, but like I can't.
Yeah, kind of fizzled out in the early 90s. This was one of the last things he did.
Yeah,
exactly. The Witch That Changed Christmas. He was in The Young and the Restless.
Oh, okay.
For those of you that like those soap opera type things.
And Paul Winfield plays the narrator, and Jonathan Winters voices the owl, who is the villain of this.
Yeah, they had to put a villain in it, but they could have done without it.
He's not so much a villain as he's just like a bully.
Yeah, I can see that. He is a bully towards the little doll. The dolls come to life in this one.
Yeah, and
the toys.
Ivy, the main character, is voiced by Brittany Thornton. She did a lot of voice work for Peanuts. She voiced Sally in a bunch of Charlie Brown stuff, and she did additional voices for some other Peanuts stuff. She has been in some things, but she doesn't have as many credits.
Right. Well, she had a nice, sweet voice. It really went well with the character.
Yeah, indeed. Ivy. We have Leah Floden as Holly, the doll, who I don't recognize. I didn't recognize that one, but she has some credits to herself. How to Be Louise, Wish I Changed Christmas, of course, Space Cats TV series, Whispers and Elephant's Tale, that sounds interesting. She had some stuff to her name.
Yeah, and then we get to Peter.
Peter, oh yeah.
Peter was, he was a strange character, I should say. Well, he was a kid, but he didn't want people to know that he was a kid. He wanted to be seen as an adult, basically.
Yeah, exactly. He has some stuff on his name. He was in Spawn as Punk Number One. Don't remember that, but okay.
Mark Robinson is his name.
Yeah, Mark Robinson indeed. He was in Frasier for like one episode, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A show that I really enjoyed. He was in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He played Robert in the in the episode You've Got to Be a Football Hero from 93.
Oh, off the top of my head, I can't tell which one that is.
No, sadly not. He has some, weirdly enough, he has two production designer credits on him. Hmm. Both from 1995. That's interesting.
Nice.
So he got around, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are like from very UFO, of course. Mrs. Jones and Officer Jones, who are also side characters who become kind of like the main characters. We have Beverly Garland as Miss Shepherd, who was actually, you know, it's nice that you hadn't have a tyrant as the person who runs the orphanage. She was actually a nicer old lady. I mean, she had that certain strictness to her, but it wasn't unjustified, you know. It was just, hey, this is a busy woman, and she wants to take care of everything, and she just, you know, I thought that portrayal was actually fine.
Yeah, it was fine. I just didn't like how she pretty much dumped her on the train. She says, well, don't get off, and I'm out of here, not even caring, really. She was going on a train all by herself.
I mean, she gave her a present, at least.
Yeah, I threw her a present, basically. But she's been in a lot of sitcoms. She was in Friends.
Oh.
She was in the very, very short-lived TGIF show, Teen Angel. She was in that. She played the grandmother.
Huh.
She was in Seventh Heaven as well. That's her last acting credit was Seventh Heaven.
Huh. That's interesting.
Did a couple of episodes there.
Okay. Nice. So yeah, those are the most important ones, I guess. Wow, we've spent so much time on the casting.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was one weird thing they do, and because the story continues that the Christmas tree in the small town,
right,
has a malfunction. Instead of Merry Christmas. Or something like
it said Merry Christmas, and then it said the name of the city. What was it? Merry Christmas. Hold on, you banter, I'll find it.
Okay, right. Well, it says the name of a city, and some of the lights burn out due to an accident. And so it says Merry Christmas to Ivy. And she sees that passing by on the train. She's like, oh, that's me. Might I find my grandmother here? Because that's one of her biggest wishes. And yes, also to...
She thinks that it was her grandma who did it.
Yeah,
She's like... She's not delusional. I mean, she's a little kid. She thinks that she has a grandma somewhere. And she's an orphan child. So obviously she has to have a grandma.
Yeah, but...
Because that's how it works.
Deep inside her, she maybe knows that she doesn't have a grandma. But she wishes for it so badly. She's a very hopeful child.
Yeah, very hopeful. She really wants to believe that there is a grandma for her. And that's basically what happens in the story. She's trying to find a grandma.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And So she leaves the train, and then the train takes off without her, and so she wanders around, not knowing anybody, looking for a person who could be her grandma, maybe. And that's when we get introduced to Mrs. Jones and Officer Jones, and she wants to set up a Christmas tree, but Officer Jones is like, we don't have any children to admire it, so, and it's very expensive, but... Like, she is convinced that this time they need a Christmas tree, and so she buys everything she needs for it. And, yeah, Ivy is on her way looking for a Christmas tree with no children around, so that's how she knows that will be the house where my grandmother lives in. And meanwhile, we get introduced to this toy store where there's a doll on the shelf with an owl. And the owl, I don't know, I guess it was either like a toy owl or a stuffed owl.
Yeah, it looked like a stuffed owl.
Yeah, and the owl is just very grumpy and mean.
Menacing.
Yeah, menacing. Tells the doll that you're a Christmas doll where nobody buys you today. Nobody will ever buy you, at least for the rest of, at least until next year. He's just a real meanie. And the doll just also wishes for a kid, you know, who could just
Mill
tuck
Valley.
All day.
That's the name.
Mill Valley.
That took forever.
Yeah.
Mill Valley. It said Merry Christmas, Mill Valley, to kind of go back to what we talked about 10 minutes ago, it seems.
Bring it back, people, but I guess you already looked it up on your own.
Yes. Mill Valley. It said Merry Christmas, Mill Valley, it malfunctions, and then it said Merry Christmas, Ivy.
Mill Valley malfunctions.
Malfunctions.
So yeah, she also, I mean, Ivy wishes for a doll, and the doll, Holly, wishes for a girl. And
They have a nice touching scene because Ivy's trying to find a place to go. Because when she gets into town, it's bustling. There's kids everywhere. There's grandmas. She's pretty much going up to everyone saying, "Don't you know who I am?" Because she thinks that somebody put on the Christmas tree, "Merry Christmas, Ivy." So she's asking around, trying to figure out who it was, because that's going to be her grandma. And it's cold. She finds the toy store, and she's like looking through the mirror. Through the window, and she sees a little doll, and they have a nice touching moment. She's like, "Oh, my girl," and Ivy's like, "Oh, my doll."
Yeah,
it was very sweet.
Yeah, it was. And she then wears the kind of like the toy shop's assistant, Peter, who doesn't want to be treated like a kid anymore, and he's slightly young. He's slightly older than Ivy. I think Ivy's supposed to be like 10 or 11, maybe.
Yeah, if that. Mm-hmm. I got the sense that she was more or less like 7, 6.
Oh, really?
Somewhere around there. Like, she was young, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, his job is to lock up the store for the first time, and he loses the key, and she uses and she finds the key, doesn't do anything with it, and she finds right next door, she finds a place that's abandoned so she can spend the night. And the next day, Peter is looking for the key. She gives it to him, and the police officer is also there. And he's like, you should come with us. You seem lost. At least warm up."
Yeah. And she was very. She told him, because he asks what she's doing there, and she goes, "I'm looking for my grandma," mm-hmm. and he gets the sense that she has no idea who her grandma is, like if there is even a grandma. So he decides to take her home. He should have taken her to the police station, a lost child, but he takes her home. It's a small town. Maybe he's the only police officer there.
Yeah, maybe there's no police station. Maybe. It's just, you know, he has like a, for people who behave badly, he has like an extra building next door or something. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
But he takes her home with him. And meanwhile, Peter, because he got promised by the shop owner, he can grab something for his own
a present for his bonus.
And he sees a toy train. He's like, "Maybe I can bring that," but he's also like, "Well, this girl saved my job. She gave me the key bag. Maybe I should make her a present with this doll." And without really that much hesitation, he just says, "Yeah, you know what, I should do that." It's not like he really like struggles with that,
right?
He's just that nice of a guy. And then we get to the scene that really confused me, because he's reaching for the doll on the shelf, and then the owl attacks him.
Yes, the owl wants everyone to be as miserable as he is, because nobody wants him, basically. He is the strawberry bear in Toy Story 3, basically.
Kind of, yeah.
He jumps on the little boy, and the little boy's... I think the little boy at one point says, "Whoa, that was weird."
And I was like, I was yelling out loud, "That was weird?"
And then the little boy says it, because he gets thrown into the trash, and the little boy just puts the lid on the trash can.
I expected any minute, like, Woody coming in, "So play nice."
Yes, it felt like that. It was Toy Story before Toy Story.
Yeah, right.
Because I think Toy Story is, what, 93?
Yeah, it was later than this.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But yeah, I was really confused by that, because they could have animated in a way that the owl seemingly like just falls on him, but they animated in a way that
it was moving.
Yeah, it's moving. It's staring. It makes noise. Like it's, I don't know. That was the only thing I really had a problem with. I was like, you're kind of breaking your rules here.
Yeah. But then the police officer takes her home. And Evie declares that this must be her grandma's house, because there is a Christmas tree and no children.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter, he arrives shortly thereafter and gives her the present. And, you know, of course, it's the doll. And she opens it up, and it's really sweet. She's like, "Oh, my doll." Yeah, or my Christmas doll is what she says. And she picks it up. She hugs it. And it was just, that whole scene is just very, very sweet.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Especially when, like, the... Mrs. Jones comes up to her, and they actually accept each other as grandmother and granddaughter.
Yes.
In a way that was really cute. And then the narration kicks in again, and and tells us they adopted her and everything turned out fine for everybody involved in the story. They don't mention the owl again because we really don't need to.
No, we didn't need the owl, really.
No.
But yeah, that's basically the end. And then we get the outro from Autumn McDonald.
With the books.
With the books.
Books and flying. There's like a fish, like a little aquarium in one of the books. It's very, very sweetly done. But there's one weird aspect, because Ronald McDonald opens the book and tells the story, and then in the book there's a narrator also telling the story. So it's like a story within a story.
Yes, I got that.
We have another Inception kind going on in this.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, at the very end when Ronald McDonald says, "And I have a present for you guys," and he looks at the camera or whatever it is, and he opens up the book, and it like a pop-up book comes up saying Merry Christmas, I thought it was gonna be the M for McDonald's.
It's actually very, very vivid. I respect them for not doing that.
Right. But I was totally expecting it. I was expecting the big old McDonald golden arch to come up in the book.
Would have made perfect sense, but they didn't do it.
No, they did it classy. I mean, I don't understand why people had such a hard time
with it. You have Ronald McDonald sitting right there. I think that's kind of enough.
That's more than enough. That's plenty.
Yeah.
But that was a special. And the very last scene really touched me.
Yeah, like, me too.
It touched me to the point where I was about to cry.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very kind of like, in some parts, it's kind of depressing holiday special, because it's just this little girl walking around looking for a grandma, being all alone in the cold and dark. And it's like, that really touches my feelings, because it's like, that must be horrible, you know?
Yeah,
for a family man as big as me, being all alone, knowing that there's probably nobody out there who cares for you, that's really heart-wrenching.
Right, and also you gotta remember, this was the early 90s. There is no cell phones. The social worker or whoever it was wouldn't be able to get a hold of Ivy anymore. Mm-hmm. Like that would have been the end of it. If she would have just, I don't know, something bad would have happened to her, there's no way that the lady would have known. She would have just ended up being a Jane Doe at the hospital, and that's it.
Yeah, oh God.
And that's very sad to think about, but it does happen. That's how real this special is.
Yeah, and I respect it for not shying away from stuff like that. It all has a very, very merry, happy ending, but still, it goes some places before it can finally... before it can finally nicely wrap up, pun intended.
Yeah.
You really care about these. You care about the doll. You care about the girl. You care about the couple who doesn't have a child but wants one. Like, and everybody. You even care about Peter, who is established to being like kind of like a nice guy.
Right.
And so it's everything works out in the end.
It does. But one thing though, they kind of. It looked like it moved too fast, because this was only, what, 22-minute special, 24-minute special? Mm-hmm. Not that long at all. They need to move along the story. But looking at the actual information for the book, there's a lot more to the story.
Oh.
So I'm not sure exactly what it is, but just looking, they go into detail with all the toys that we don't really get into detail in the special.
Yeah.
We basically just hear about Holly and the owl. And I didn't know the owl had a real name. But yeah, it gives you the name. It gives you the names of all the other toys that were there that you don't really hear in the special. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it goes more into depth. And it was actually named in the top 100 best children's book of all time.
Oh, wow.
So
I can see that.
It's got to be good. Something good for the whole family.
Yeah. I would like to look at the book at some point. I mean, I'm sure you can still find it in a way. It also looks like it has some nice artwork going on, mm-hmm. which Ray differed from in the special itself.
Right.
But yeah, I actually really think the art style, the nice animation, the nice music they do, and actually the tenderness and the kind of like how the voice actors are all getting into it. It feels very, very genuine. And for some of you cynical guys out there, if you can get past the Ronald McDonald wraparound, it's overall a very sweet special, which I'm glad we could enjoy here.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I thought overall it was a good special. You guys really need to find it. and seek it out. It's online. I'm pretty sure. Where did we see it? I think we might have seen it on YouTube or Daily Motion, one of those two. Somebody uploaded it. It's there. You could buy the DVD too, but I think it's out of print, so it might cost a pretty penny. But as long as we were able to see it, we were able to talk about it. It was very fun. This is something I'm going to remember for a while.
Yeah, me too. Especially, you know, when you're like me, when you're far away from the family in a way right now, it was kind of hard watching some of it. I was like, oh, I miss my family too.
Cool. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast. What do you think?
No, I think so too, actually. This has been a success. It warmed our heart. It touched us deeply. And all in all, I am really glad that we got around seeing this.
Yes. And this is coming out right after Thanksgiving. So we hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're going into December. We're getting really close to Christmas, Lasse. Very close.
Yeah. Chances are good that some of you are listening to this episode at the gym.
It's possible. It is possible.
If so, don't worry. That's what Thanksgiving is for.
Yes. Don't worry about it. The holidays, all diets are off during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. All right. So if you'd like to send us any questions, comments, or you want to suggest something for a future show, you can go ahead and send those to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. You could also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. And we're on Twitter at 90schristmaspod. Lasse, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Lasse Vogt. My own podcast is called Fans About Films. You can find it on SoundCloud and iTunes. I write German soundtrack reviews for scoregeek.wordpress.com. And I have a YouTube channel, The Dippard, with a lot of short films going on. So, yeah, contact me, hang around with us, please give us some comments. Like he said, everything helps. Look forward to your feedback.
Yes, and that's it from us. So we will see you next week. Have a good night.
Have a good night and a very merry rest of the year.
Good night.
Hi everyone, Dwayne Bailey here from the Tinsel Tunes podcast. Did you know Silent Night is the most recorded holiday song of all time? Over 137,000 times and counting. Come join us each month as I dive into Christmas music and reveal lots of interesting facts like that. Also, learn about your old favourites as well as getting a heads up for the new music each season. We're on all the podcast networks like iTunes, Stitcher and Google Podcasts. Check out our website, tinseltunes.com, for all the links as well as our socials. I look forward to seeing you all soon.